Well, I spoke to my friend Professor Price. So he told me everything that I needed to know. He said I shouldn't worry about bumping anybody off, which I think is great. You know, make sure that I take, well, I am OCD, so make sure I take a shower for the shower game. I want to make sure I'm not a little bit too loony or a little bit too toony. And I need to make sure I'm on the spot, I'm off the spot, but on the nose.
If you know, you know.
Oh, wait, that was my secret ex. Hold on. Come here, buddy.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net.
Nerdo Grumbija says, will not be heard at this time, so that we may hear from our esteemed panel on WLTI.
This is Gordon Pepper, and we are an esteemed panel, usually, as always.
Yep.
As always usual, or however you like to call it. We have a ton of stuff to go over. It's like somebody said, oh, wait, it's the end of February, it sweeps, maybe we can do stuff here. Sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, they decided at the end of February they were just going to smash everything into the one day of sweeps we have remaining. So that's exactly what happened. And then March happened, and all of a sudden it was all quiet. But we still had something to fill out an entire show, from killing celebrities, yes, that's a thing that's about to happen, to junk status bonds and Paramount Land, that's a thing's about to happen, and we have some of the best challenges in Survivor history, and also we have a giant recap of the last episode. I said to myself I wouldn't do it, and I did it!
Yeah, well, go for it. From some toilet in America. WLTI.
Theme song!
Let's go.
We.
We are at episode number 527 here at WLTI on 5 and 1. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy. That's Chico. That's Gordon. Let's head to the island. Oh, after Kyle's medevac, okay. Everyone on CeeLo was very, very upset. They were very upset because they thought Kyle was taken out too early, but really he could not perform at all.
Not on that ankle, no.
No, or the tendon, no. So we get to the reward challenge, and it is an absolute they are bringing back all the classics, okay?
Yep.
So,
This is a bit of a...
The survivors, one at a time, leap off the platform, would smash a tile suspended above the water, releasing the key. And they cross the series of balance beams and swim to the finish. After three keys are retrieved, another player dives down to retrieve two rings. The remaining players use the key to unlock the final ring and must toss them on the three floating targets. The reward was, I believe, comfort.
Well, comfort and utility, because the winners will take home some kits to improve camp. So, utility and comfort. The winning tribe will get both of those. The second place tribe will get one of those. The losing tribe will get none of those. And it's Sila
right.
who takes first, Kalo who takes second, and Vatu has a sour coconut-tasting party while Aubrey goes nuts trying to make sense of this tribe of hers.
Right. However, Christian, who had a code brown earlier in the episode, hence the word recrap instead of recap, Okay. Okay. And it's like we wasted a few minutes on this. He's just walking out of nowhere and finds a Billie Eilish boomerang idol of his own. He's like, okay. And all of a sudden, he gives it to Aubrey. And again, I love this. Okay. Really well done. So then we get to the immunity challenge again, which is another classic. You had three teams of two who sprinted into the jungle one at a time to retrieve heavy snakes. Each team had to drag their snake back to the obstacle course, and then three contestants used three ropes to remove a ball behind along the snake table. First two teams won immunity, which were Kahlo and, yet again, Vatu.
Okay. Siwa is going to tribal again.
And now, hold on. But the vote was not necessarily the most important part here, even though Savannah was unanimously out. So the winner of Survivor 49 gets out in week two of Survivor 50 with the block of vote in her pocket. So then Christian breaks a chair, falls to the ground, and Rick Devons plants a fake immunity idol at the seating area as we go off air. Jordan, you watched. Your thoughts?
Oh, before we go over to that, how's that free gaming cluster looking so far in that island?
They're
all still there. They're all still there. Savannah got voted out immediately. And again, Savannah goes, well, you know what? Me, Jenna, and Joe were like the little scraps, the little leftovers of it all, quote unquote. Which makes me believe that, okay, there was free gaming. There was a group of five. And it looks like Joe is going to be next. That all being said, if they keep losing, it's not going to matter what free gaming is going to be happening, because they're going to get picked off once they get to the main group.
Except for the fact that we're getting a tribe swap next week.
Yeah, we'll see how good or how bad that free gaming goes at that point. Christian's a very intelligent player. Code Brown aside, he saw the idol, he went for it, and we'll see what happens at that point.
But what about him? What about Devin's planting a fake immunity idol?
Well, you knew that was eventually going to happen.
If Fila returns to Tribal next week, it's going to be a moot point. Because, presumably, we all know what Rick did. Presumably, Christian's in on it. So,
but I just have one question. Wouldn't the production I'm asking this legitimately. Wouldn't the production staff notice it and either help clean it up or put it in such a way? What would they do?
Well, I don't understand the context of that question, sir.
He's asking if production noticed that there's a fake idol being planted at the tribal council area, would they clean it up? I'm of the mindset.
No, should they?
I agree with Gordon here. I'm of the mindset that suggests that fake idol is Chekhov's gun. And if you know what Chekhov's gun
clearly,
is.
Yeah, clearly the cameras caught it. And clearly, let's put it this way. And I truly believe this, and sorry for interrupting, Chico, but I'm going to clean everything up here in one soup, pun intended. First of all, if the cameras caught it, that means it's still going to be there. So that's going to answer your own question in terms of that. Because if they would clean it up, you wouldn't have seen it. It wouldn't have happened. Peter explains more kind of story. Number two, and Chico was right, Chekhov's gun is clearly, especially in successful shows like Survivor, etc., if you're going to put something out there, that means it's going to be real important later.
Yeah.
That space. It's going to be real important later.
Yeah. If you
just like what we were talking about in RuPaul's Drag Race, if you put something up in the editing, it's going to be real important later. See what I did? Let's segue.
Yes. Yes, bro.
Your whole body talk. And what?
Well, last week we talked about...
Before you even start, sir, okay? Warden, you are one psychic person.
There if you would let me finish.
Sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Gordon, you are one psychic person. Have you thought about using this power for good?
No.
Okay.
Damn.
Okay. You saw that last week when we were talking about queens fighting for a role, that person will end up having to fight for their lives later on down the line. Sure enough.
And it's not even psychic as much as this is what consistently happens on RuPaul's Drag Race, especially if you put the fight in the coming attractions. It's happening almost every single season when somebody's fighting for a role, usually karma comes and nails everybody in the gonads.
Okay.
Well, once again, so it wasn't even me being psychic as much as the editing is incredibly predictable. Part one. Part two, obviously with Althea being that person, you sort of knew who she was going to be lip-syncing against, and it had to be Juicy Love Dion. It had to.
But before we get
you put those two people in there, there's no way it wasn't. Anyway, you go back here.
Before we get there, we've got to go back to the beginning in a mini-challenge called Grindr, I Hardly Know Her. Yep, Discord Adams, Kenya Pleaser, they're both winners of the challenge, each taking home $1,250 cash money. And for the main challenge, we have our annual Rusical challenge, that is Fanny, the Heart Knock Fall Rusical.
And this was so incredibly clever, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, which with guest judges, Mr. Selena Gomez, Benny Blanco, and Jamal Sims.
The erstwhile choreographer to the drag race, Jamal Sims. Our dramatis personae features Darlene Mitchell as Brandy, Discord Adams as Lil... Oh my god! Lil Salty.
Lil Salt. Right.
Don't as...
You forgot Athena Dion as Mama Big Pop.
Not yet.
Okay.
I
know, I'm on a roll tonight. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
Jane Don't as Miss Shenanigan. Juicy Love Dion as Cecile Cartier. And Kenya Pleaser as Grace Cartier. Nene Coco as Big Peppa. And Mickey Meeks as the title role of Fanny. Athena Dion was left playing Mama Big Bucks, which is a role that she was not looking forward to.
But now before we get into that, this episode had a tinge of sadness to it because the producer in the middle of the show, they had to record the vocals where they joined songwriter Leland and Gabe Lopez to make music together. Unfortunately, Gabe Lopez passed away in January of 2026. So, I hope this is going to be edited, but F cancer, because he had lymphoma, which is not good no matter what happens. So, yes, you can continue, Chico.
Yes, and I believe that was... in this episode, and unfortunate and very unfortunate. But now we go to the runway, which is Beige Against the Machine. Your tops were Jane Don't, Kenya Pleaser, and Mickey Meeks, with Jane Don't, who is now a legitimate challenger to win the whole thing, receiving $5,000 cash money. Your bottoms, Athena Dion and Juicy Love Dion, are both up for elimination with the lip sync Call Me When You Break Up by Selena Gomez, Benny Blanco, and Gracie Abrams. Juicy Love Dion wins lip sync. Athena Dion wins a trip off the runway. But yeah.
Yeah, not a surprise thing, especially if you saw everything.
I'm kind of surprised that Kenya Pleaser are stepping her game up, actually.
I'm not sure that she's stepping her game up as much as she's just being mediocre, and right now mediocre is better than terrible.
And remember, I think this next week is going to be a fashion challenge.
Yes, because it's drag in a bag. I have no idea what that means, but I'm sure we will find out.
And then next week, and then 2 weeks, we got the roast challenge, Gordon. A toast to Alyssa Edwards.
That's actually, you know, Snatch Game used to be my favorite part of the season. And it's still a fun part of the season, don't get me wrong. But I love the roast episodes. So that one I am looking really forward to, even though it's weird because you're down to, what, 6 at this point?
Yeah. 7.
7.
So I don't see how you do a roast with 6. So I'm sensing some shenanigans next episode. What?
It could be one of those non-elimination legs.
Could be an elimination leg, or since you're at an even 7-7, it could be one of those, we're going to bring back a drag queen and you're in Paris. That's so it's possible. A replacement. Usually when you have the roast is usually at 8 or 7 when they have it. It's usually not at 6.
Usually.
So maybe it's just a guess on my part. I don't know. I have known nothing. So knowing that, I'm going to be wrong.
Okay. Well, knowing nothing doesn't help people because, again, we're at Wheel of Champions in Culver City.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
All right, so this week we are dealing with a buzzer monster. And that was the official nickname given by the show. As Quentin Powers is going for a three-peat on our Thursday show against Corey Aiello from Indianapolis, Indiana, and Nishal Shah from Parsippany, New Jersey. Going into the final, which, by the way, features the 18th Century World with Jamie Frazier of Outlander. Yes, is almost over, my friends.
Right, and that was the double Jeopardy round. But my favorite Jeopardy category of the week was Oscar the Grouch talking about different forms of garbage.
That's coming up later.
Now, the category is 21st Century Heroes tonight.
And your clue. In his memoir, he referenced Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds while writing about a near disaster.
Gordon, we were both near this when it happened. You know?
Yes, we were.
This was when Sully Sullenberger managed to land the U.S. Airways flight in the Hudson River and saved everybody. Yep. So, and the bird struck two engines and he put it down in the Hudson. Corey had the lock game. He wins and ends the week as champion with 17,930.
And Corey will compete on tomorrow's show. So, yeah, Quentin Powers, and then the Powers Down.
So, I need to expose an eggplant.
Excuse me?
On the Masked Singer, I'm sorry. That's not. There's not water next to it. Anyway, our eggplant is 80s heartthrob Jack Wagner.
I'm kind of surprised it took 14 seasons to get Jack Wagner on the show. I mean,
yes,
General Hospital, then, Young and the Restless, Melrose Place, that one song that everybody was slow dancing to in the 80s.
All I Need. That's right. But of course, this was also Kelly Osbourne was there as well because it was Ozfest night. She, of course, you know, honoring her late dad, Ozzy Osbourne, of course. But we have a couple of reviews, and I'm hungry for both of them. And this first one is the highly anticipated Padma Lakshmi hosted and produced America's Culinary Cup. 16 of America's brightest chefs and most, and you know, really celebrated chefs, including multiple Top Chef winner Boudelot, compete for a prize of $1 million and the title of America's Culinary Champion. The first show had the 16 chefs going head-to-head. And they had a score of up to 20 points per judge in, what was it, technique, presentation, taste, and presentation, I believe.
Yes.
And so what happens was the top eight move on and get to select what chefs go against each other and in what dish they picked. Four chefs were eliminated, and the top 12 have to go through a boot camp of culinary commandments, meaning they have to be chefs, great chefs at everything, to win the $1 million.
I have the list of commandments here. They are meat, vegetables, sauces, dessert, innovation, flavors, sustainability, world cuisine, consistency, culinary science, and technology.
And eggplants.
And yes. Okay. The good. Set's nice. Production's excellent. That's all I got.
I do have more than that, and I understand where Jason's bias is coming from. However, before I decide to play good eggplant here, Chico, do you have any other good?
I like the sets, and it took too long to get to the cooking, if you ask me, but once it did, it was balls to the wall, very exciting to watch.
Yeah, so I agree with Chico. It got slow to get there, but once we actually got to the cooking, the pacing was really good. It's almost sort of like people that have been on Top Chef before have sort of stolen their thing. Padma is Padma. She's going to be very good. I do agree, Jay. I know what he's going to say, and he's not wrong. She was a little stilted on this one. Didn't feel as natural as she was in Top Chef. I'll steal your thunder here. But she's not bad, and she's a very good host on this. I will also add, if you've never seen Top Chef or Iron Chef, this is going to be really good to watch. I do like the point structure that they did take from Iron Chef. And obviously some of the structure from Top Chef clearly made its way here, albeit differently, and it definitely wasn't a straight steal. So
it was an absolute direct theft of Culinary Classroom America, Culinary Class Wars.
I didn't say it wasn't that. I just said it wasn't a straight steal from Top Chef or Iron Chef.
Okay. Okay.
We're waiting on that. Stop. Heal.
I will say that they are stealing from next Iron Chef starting next week.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now we'll get to the bad. Jay, it's all yours.
Okay. There is, and I watched this with the esteemed Mr. Block live from 9:30 to 11 on Wednesday. There is absolutely nothing new here. There is nothing innovative. The judging. Okay, you want to talk pre-gaming? I think the previous relationship between Boudelot and Padma Lakshmi is going to put him in the finals. I'm going to guarantee that there, and I'm going to accuse it right there. There is no way you're going to put a Top Chef guy who's won twice and not have him be late in the game. Okay? I just think I was bored by this. It was slow.
You want to make Gilo Nudio, Island Rob Mariano, and connector with that in season one? And the She-Devil season two in there? Sure, I will accept the analogy.
Yes, exactly. Nothing new. Nothing new. It was nothing new to me.
I don't think that will affect the gameplay. I do think it will get eyeballs watching, just like what we had in Deal or No Deal on with. Okay. So well, I will counter that a little bit, but Chico, you go first.
Jason pretty much stole my thunder. There's really nothing new here. I mean, it's one of those, if you've seen one culinary class war, you've seen them all. But yeah, this is basically Top Chef on a network scale, on a broadcast network scale. Excuse me.
Yeah, by the way, so I'm not too vague. The sheet I was talking about, just in case anybody's going to looking at, Parvati Swallow.
Yes.
So, yeah, you know what? Overall, this show gets a B. It's not the worst show in the world, but at the same time, it brings nothing new to the table, and I apologize for using that metaphor, but it was there.
Yeah, here's what I think. If you haven't seen any of the other stuff before, you'll be fine. The problem is a lot of people have seen all this stuff before, so if I'm going to judge this as an unbiased person, it gets a B. It's not bad. Pace could be better. It's not terrible. If I've seen the stuff before, which of course I have, I'm going to drop it down a little bit. I'm going to call it a C+. It's not terrible. It's not terrible, but it's not as bad as what it could. It's not as good as what it could be.
Exactly. That is the absolute point. If you've never seen this before, you've enjoyed it. But since my father and I have watched a lot of cooking shows, again, it's a C+. Exactly. There is absolutely right down the middle. And actually, I would actually could also put it's very disappointing because CBS put a lot of time and money and effort in this. This really should have been a lot better than it was.
I'm gonna add to this because, yes, we're the target audience, but it's going to be a bunch of civilians more than that is the audience. I think the ratings are going to be a lot better than what you think they're going to be.
Well, do we have the overnight TV ratings? We can look at it as we talk about next show, Flavor Town Food Fight.
Yeah, if you've seen one Food Network culinary competition starring Guy Fieri, you've seen them all, but this seems like a combination of the form. Because we have...
Yeah, I was going to say, my review is going to sound very similar to the one that I just did. Anyway, Chico.
Yeah, we have three chefs who are cooking in the town square of Flavortown, where there's a restaurant called Loretta's Diner, and Shea Penny, and Jamp's Coffee Corner, and Trattoria Fieri, or something like that, because this is basically what happens when you put a Guy Fieri-hosted cooking show on the set of Shopping Spree, if you remember that far back.
We do.
Three chefs cooking based on the usual places that you'll find in Flavortown. The winner will get a chance to take home $20,000 and return in the next episode. The good. The set's nice. Guy Fieri's at his Guy Fieri-est. And you can tell that there's a lot of heart in this show.
Well, here's what I am going to say about this, which is a little different than most shows. I'm going to give some props on this. And the biggest one being, as you said, as this is not a tournament show, and this is not a one-off, this is one of the very few cooking shows, if any, I'm trying to remember, and I don't, where you actually have returning champions. They brought back champions before in Supermarket Sweep and others, but they've never brought people to come back the next day and defend.
It was sort of like a goof on Game of Thrones, on Food Network, Game of Knives, I think it was.
Yes.
So that had some returning champions.
Well, but again, they weren't consecutive returning champions.
True.
in that sort of way. As I said, you have people who return, and again, they return on Supermarket Sweep, and you've had, obviously, you have reality and other shows that have them returning, but not in this sort of way. So definite props. Definite props on that. The good, it's Guy Friggin' Fieri. I mean, you know what he is, you know what he does, you know all the good stuff around that. So if it's there, it's there.
Yeah. So now that we have the good, let's talk about the bad. And it seems like a running gag here.
15 minutes.
With something if you've seen one show, you've seen them all. There's nothing new here.
No, I mean it is what it is. It does not reinvent the wheel. And again, if you either A, like Guy Fieri, or B, haven't seen a Guy Fieri thing and wants to do this, this is not a bad story. So I will go again, but I'll give him a little bit more props for being a little bit more inventive, especially with the returning champions. If you haven't seen something like this before, B plus. If you have, and yes,
it's different enough that I'm going to put this a little bit higher, B minus.
B minus is the grade. I mean, it's a really good looking show. It's got a lot of heart behind it. Guy Fieri's at his Guy Fieri-est. I've got no problems, but at the same time, I really want something more here. And is it driving me nuts that I'm really wanting something more and I'm not getting it?
I don't know what your expectations is. This is a Food Network show. It's not a, I mean, technically it's prime time, but it's a strip show. I don't exactly know what you're expecting here on this. I would say the expectations on Culinary Cup justified. Yes, it's a big ticket show. This one has got Guy Fieri's name on it, but again, it's a strip show. So temper your expectations accordingly, Jay.
Yeah, it's a B. You know, I mean, again, it's a better show because you know the expectation. And the fact is that they've promoted this heavily, and this is his first show back from his injury, right, I believe? So, yeah, this is another winner for the Guy Fieri empire.
Agreed.
All right. And to answer your question from earlier, Wednesday overnights have not been released. So We don't know how America's Culinary Cup. As soon as we do, though,
we will talk about it next week. But in Act 3, we're going to go back to the island, sort of. Because we are going to do a little something because the producers of Survivor have knocked out the 50 best challenges. We're going to rank some of them, if they're this, that, or the other. But first, Chico.
But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including 3 renewals, 1 green light, and a bunch of celebrities who are trying to avoid getting killed by a bunch of people in pink suits. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. We are hot to go on WLTI. Where you give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different people that we want to see on Culinary Cup.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
You can't think of any. I got plenty to go around.
I want to see Gordon Ramsay do it.
Me too.
There you go.
Because they had a couple of these people who actually had these French culinary Olympics, which we've actually seen on the original Iron Chef, which I think is really kind of cool. I'd love to see George Motz do it.
Oh,
Mr.
God.
Hamburger America himself.
Hung
Nguyen?
Yeah.
Stephanie Izzard?
Yes, yes. Jeff Morrow, our sandwich guy.
There you go.
Lots
anyway,
of
we'll be back.
We One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation, end the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
Brain Vision has been presented by Trader Tots. It's all the taste of a Scottish castle, but absolutely none of the murder. Just don't ask how it's made. It's Trader Tots.
Since it's in Scotland, wouldn't that be McTrader Tots?
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know what? You are right.
So, five, by the way, still have way too much stuff to go over. Not a lot of time to do it. So, Mick, roll that beautiful brain footage.
You mean that Mick footage?
The Mick footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games, Rock 104, Rock Tracks, and Tracks Productions. And don't forget to listen to Doug Morris as he hosts Tracks, Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock 104. That is 104.5 on your FM dial, WXRR
Hattiesburg.
104.5 on your FM dial and all over the known.
Doom.
Multiverse.
On Rock104FM.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock104 app. Okay. Spring is a time of renewal, and we've got renewals!
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
All right. Our first renewal. It's the red, white, and blue back. Because John Michael Higgins teased as much on last Friday on Instagram. GSN's bringing America Says back.
Excellent.
React.
Excellent. Good.
Yes. Our second renewal. Make it two for Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Destination X. I've got the X bat here. NBC is casting it right now at dx.castingcrane.com.
Good. I'm very happy about that.
Good on both of those shows. Obviously, we know the workhorse that America Says is. Destination X, for me, was a pleasant surprise. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And it's a very clever show. Absolutely. Good on that for the room.
And then we have our third renewal, which is 25 words or less, returning for season 8. They're shooting this summer, and they're bringing the live shows back.
Well, I will just say that I know certain people who have auditioned, and certain people who have made a certain round, and certain people that can't say anything more than that.
But stay tuned to this frequency for more information on those. All of that plus...
Although you also forgot one more show that's casting, too.
That's right. Season 7. Press Your Luck is casting. You go to pressyourluck.castingcrane.com. They are shooting shows in April, presumably for the summer.
And I will add to that, because there are certain casting companies right now that aren't just casting for contestants, they're casting for audiences.
So yes, lots of opportunities. go out and seize them. But we have one more show, and this is the big red bat with the big red N on it, because Mark Rober, STEM influencer, pioneering creator, former NASA engineer, he has a new student competition series on Netflix called Schooled.
By the way, I am a huge Mark Rober fan. You've got to go on YouTube, you've got to see the clips, and then you'll understand exactly why this is going to be one of the biggest hits of the streaming cycle. Very intelligent to bring him on. I am really looking forward to this show.
Yep. Mark Rober is producing alongside Daniel Callen, Scott Lewers, and Jimmy Kimmel and Scott Longer. Teams of student tinkerers will compete in creative and explosive science challenges set in a fully gamified school. Mark is on a mission to discover the next generation of inventors, makers, and engineers, and the winners will take home a life-changing prize.
You know what I think that'll be? That'll be like STEM labs for the school or something like that, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I hope that... Okay, now... This to me, and I'm with you, Gordon, this is so cool. I can't wait to see this. This is so good. Cannot wait for it.
Yeah. I can't wait. This is going to be fantastic.
What's fantastic? Right,
but I
now?
Do have something we don't have to wait that long for, and that's the date book. On Saturday is the season premiere of High Stakes Poker. Always good to see. And by the way, casinos are doing record business these days. Crazy, right?
Not really. Monday, I'm thinking of going into a casino over the weekend. But anyway, continue on.
Wow, they're doing the season premiere of Top Chef on Monday?
They're doing
That's
it
a little
on
bit
Monday,
of a surprise.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, something else. In conjunction to that, if you have Pluto, somewhere on there, you're going to see the Bravo Vault, and they've been playing nothing but Top Chef episodes. And you know what's really interesting, also on Pluto, season 22 Top Chef Canada, in addition to season 21 and 20. But that surprises me that they're going to be putting on episodes that recent. So if you have Pluto, you can literally check out the whole Top Chef library, so it can be incredibly stacked once season 23 shows up.
Right. Ultimate Baking Championship premieres on Food. That's another, always another push for us. Tuesday is the season finale of Wildcard Kitchen. Wednesday is Love is Blind, reunion on Netflix. Dirty Rotten Scandals, America's Next Top Model. Oh, yeah. We're watching that and we're reviewing that. And then Hollywood Squares with Drew Barrymore, Ms. Pat, Niecy Nash-Betts, Austin Robb, Joe Coy, Pete Holmes, Tiffany Haddish, She Ready, Ron Funches, and Ariana DeBose. And, of course, a week from tonight is Love is Blind Sweden, which is the season premiere on Netflix. Let's talk about that app, though, and friends of ours doing something really, really cool. Now, confession time here and full disclosure. We know both Adam Nedif, multi-time game show author and friend of ours, and of course Bob Bowden, who are both heavily involved with the Strong Museum of Play in upstate New York, which has a game show museum. One of the things that they got last year, was the Family Feud board, right? I believe it was last year, and they got it up and running. This year...
This week... They managed to move, because the last time I saw this was 20 years ago at the Smithsonian, and now they've trucked it to Rochester. It is the original board for...
Yes, the spinning letter board. Yes. Oh, man. Now, and yes, I'm going to do a plug here. There is, I believe, a donation button at Strong Museum of Play. I just want to make sure of this. It's museumofplay.org. That is museumofplay.org. If you want to donate anything there, you click it. It is an absolute... One of these days, we are going to take a road trip up there and actually see what's there. I cannot wait. And I know people who have donated stuff. People who are friends of ours. And that's absolutely very smart.
It is very smart. Unfortunately, being caught on the sauce behind the wheel is perhaps the dumbest thing ever.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Britney Spears has been arrested on a DUI charge.
I'm gonna go for the low-hanging fruit. Oof, she did it again.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Well, but you know what? Also, all joking aside, I hope she gets the help she needs because she's been needing it for a long
time. I completely agree with you on that. But in order to get the help, she's gonna have to want it first. But hopefully, she'll get it. I agree with you. She's way too talented for her to be stopped like this.
Yeah, a statement from her people calls the arrest inexcusable. According to the AP, the 44-year-old pop star and former X Factor coach exited the freeway. She was the only person in the car, pulled over, appeared to be impaired, took a series of field sobriety tests, was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence of a combination of alcohol and drugs, and was taken to a Ventura County jail. Chemical test results are pending, and the case remains under investigation.
She hasn't released, she's released singles. I don't know what her last studio album was. Good Lord.
I don't know what
To be fair on that, she's been running around and doing a lot of TV stuff. She hasn't been idle. She's been running around and doing things. And again, you know, I wish nothing but the best for her in terms of getting the help that she needs or just figuring everything out.
Yep.
But we need to talk about some business haterade, and this shocks no one.
Haterade.
Okay. So Paramount is in the process of closing the deal for Warner Brothers Discovery and Fitch Ratings, who chart the debt associated with these mega mergers, have downgraded Paramount's Guidance's long-term issuer default rating from triple B minus to double B plus, putting it into speculative grade investment territory, aka junk status. In addition, Fitch downgraded Paramount's Guidance's senior unsecured debt from triple B negative to double B positive and placed all the ratings on Rating Watch negative, indicating that further downgrades may be in the offing.
But you know what? That's the small version. You want the medium-sized version?
Take the medium-sized version.
Well, we have a lawsuit, and Gordon, you're going to love this one. Amazing Race contestants Jonathan and Anna are suing CBS for $8 million because the show's producers and CBS allegedly besmirched their names. TMZ.
Oh, no.
Obtained the lawsuit, said the couple said the show deliberately smeared them by using, quote, decontextualized footage that made Jonathan look like a, quote, morally depraved, brutal, and abusive spouse, while at the same time omitting material that put Jonathan in a more humanizing light. And according to the papers, the couple says the inflammatory content was irrelevant to the show's storylines, and they think they were singled out during the editing of the show, as they say no other contestants came off that way in the final cut. And they also claim that Jonathan has been diagnosed as having autism spectrum disorder, although they say the condition was unknown to all parties at the time of the shooting. They say the producers did little to help him when they observed him, quote, suffering clear emotional anguish during the shoot. And that they possess the evidentiary materials necessary to tell an accurate and complete story, but intend a false and damaging characterization of the couple, which they insist constitutes defamation under California law. Gordon, the floor is yours, because you know what we're all going to say.
I know what we're all going to say, but what makes this one a little bit different than the other ones that they traditionally say, yeah, you can blame it on the edit. However, and a big however here, if you're trying to make somebody a villain on that, you need to be careful in terms of that. And here's the big part. And here's where they may have something. If they really truly traditionally have it out of context, and that may be very difficult to prove, but if they can prove that, they've got a case.
Yes.
Especially on that. So,
I see where you're coming from, but to me, if you look, Chico and I have.
Yes,
been on
I agree. If you sign up, you sign up. You get what you get, and that's also. And the other interesting point that you're going to bring up is what exactly was in that contract that they signed.
Yes, we don't know what the.
I mean, if yeah, I was going to say if you're gonna play counterpoint to my point, that would be a good way to start.
Yes, I don't know what's in the contract. I wish I did. Okay.
Money limits.
You know, I don't know what all those emotional clauses are. You know what I'm talking about? The moral turpitude clauses and things like that. We don't know. It's going to come out in court.
Yeah.
And finally, I have a third serving of haterade, and you brought this out, Gordon.
I did.
This is following up on a story we covered last week. Beast Industries have fired a Mr. Beast video editor following accusations of insider trading by the prediction market operator Kalshi, which has been under a lot of scrutiny this week. If I may, Gordon, can I just add a little context to this as well?
Yes, completely. And then I will comment after you've added that context.
Okay, the context is that someone made a boatload of money predicting that the Iran, Israel, the U.S.-Israel strikes would happen at a certain time. Let me rephrase that. That the supreme leader of the Iranian government would not be around after, I believe it was March 1st. And what happened was that Kalshi did not pay because they said that because the person was killed, they don't want to traffic in death. So
absolutely not. And you do have those death pulls and stuff like that.
Yes. So Kalshi announced last month that a user traded about $4,000 on streaming markets relating to Mr. Beast videos with near perfect success, turned out to be an employee of Beast Industries who likely had access to material, non-public information. The Kalshi suspended the editor from platform for 2 years, fined him $20,000, and alerted federal regulators. A spokesman for Beast Industries, founded by Jim McDonaldson, said the roughly 500-person company, quote, has no tolerance for this behavior, has initialed an independent investigation. The company's president and CEO told CNBC they had taken action several months ago to bar trading by Mr. Police employees and contestants for Beast Games on the reality show. So I'm guessing, Gordon, I think we can figure this out. One person said, you know what? I'm going to bet on Kalshi who gets eliminated from Mr. Beast Games and got caught.
Oh, yeah. The game show version of insider trading. It's one of the reasons why when I was working for CBS, we had this little contract saying, oh, by the way, you if you do any of that sort of stuff, you're coughing up $500,000.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know if they have them in the contracts now because I was a lot older, or a lot younger, I should say, when I was working for CBS. So they may not have those anymore. But I was in a position in the palace over on a 57th between 9th and 10th, where one of the things that they were responsible for was feeding the shows. So we got the shows that didn't show up yet. Survivor was one of those shows. Okay. So obviously it's now not as big then as it was now, but I could definitely see a situation where you could have access in terms of who gets voted off the island next before anybody else did, and you can make a decent amount
amount of money off of that. I can tell you stories where I was bringing stats in and all sorts of information, and I was being offered thousands of dollars to give that up. Obviously, I didn't, but it's out there. Inside information, big thing. So I can understand why you would do it. I can understand why people would be dumb or desperate enough to do it and then get caught. And unfortunately, in this day and age, where's the morality? It's probably somewhere on a deserted island.
Yeah, but where are we sending people?
I don't know. Chico, where are we sending them to?
We're sending them to Richard Osman's house.
Oh, boy.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
How about we get the Jet 2 lady to be the new host of House of Games, huh?
Well, that's right, because Richard Osman, no more, right?
Yep, Richard Osman has announced that after this season, he is stepping down from House of Games, the House of Games that bear his name. He says it will no longer be Richard Osman's House of Games. It will be somebody else's House of Games. He said that on his podcast, The Rest is Entertainment, and I gladly hand over the keys.
You know, this is the second successful Richard Osman show that's been out there, and good for him. You know, we all know what he's done
also,
on Pointless.
By the way, he also had a very big successful last year with a movie called The Thursday Murder Club with Dame Helen Mirren and Pierce Brosnan late last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, that you know what? Maybe we will get a very successful British media
player. Yeah, popped off. Good. Thank you. Thank you.
And this week's Media Pro Report, Nikki Glaser has been spotted playing with Alexa Plus.
Very fun, very funny commercial, by the way.
Very funny commercial. We also said goodbye to Soli Philander, host of the South African game show Vat and Cons. I have no idea what that's about. Rob Roche has finally bought Mara Higgins her Birkin bag.
From his trader's money, right?
Yeah, from his trader's money. There's a whole lot of trader's money to buy that bag. Don't ask Elizabeth Hasselbeck to return to Survivor. The answer is no. Tom Bergeron will return in Avengers Doomsday. I mean, a future episode of Hollywood Squares in April. Ike Barinholtz will launch a comedy trivia podcast later this month. Ken Jennings made a cameo appearance in a production of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Yeah, that was by the way, if you've seen this on Instagram, it's absolutely hilarious, Gordon. What they do is they make funny celebrity clues to for the celebrities, and it's really fun. It's so much fun. That's a show I'd love to see and actually participate in, because more people get to get picked and get eliminated, you know?
We have the lineup for season 7 of Rock the Block, Las Vegas. That would be Scott McGillivray, Brooke Hogan, Tanaya Nyack, Drew Lachey, Mina Starsacock, Vernon Davis. Yes, that Vernon Davis. And Kim Wolf and fellow Survivor alum Chelsea Meisner. John Michael Higgins gets to hang out with ghosts. Unfortunately, well wishes go out to Drag Race Down Under's Anita Wiglet, who was hospitalized with severe pneumonia. Val Shmurkowski was released from hospital after being diagnosed with benign paroxysmal positional vertigo. I know a thing or two about that. Steve Harvey is teaming up with Merzigo to distribute his daughter's show. And George Gray wishes his Mama May a happy 90th birthday. So do we.
Heck yes.
Joe
Very
Hunter
cool.
goes from torch to fire hose in Tyler Perry's new firefighter drama. Alan Cumming apologizes for a trauma-triggering show at the BAFTAs. Sam Reich responds to his game show being used for copaganda. That is the crossover between him and the rookie. David Jennett has been spotted being on The Traitors. Tiffany New York Pollard has a word or two about Teresa Giudice's hairline. Ashley Abair would totally do The Bachelorette again, post-divorce. And Kevin O'Leary turns a $20 million Kobe Bryant Michael Jordan card into the tackiest piece of bling you'll ever see.
Okay, have you ever seen Logan Paul do it?
Yes. Why?
Okay.
Oh, I know why. Because Logan Paul is stupid. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them are your pros of the week.
What you got?
I have Mel B, Dylan Efron, Tristan Thompson, Kim Zolchik Bierman, Hannah Goodwin, Christy Sarah, Ryan Serhant, and Viper from season 2 of Squid Game The Challenge. Because now we have Squid Game The VIP Challenge. 8 VIPs will enter the challenge and compete in the total chaos for a cash prize, presumably for charity.
Let's hope it's for charity.
Everyone else will be dead.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Cut. And those are your pros.
I'm not one to break kayfabe, just saying. And that is
yeah, I know.
Jason, if you would, please.
Okay, here's that one. Thank you. So we're heading back to the island for a little bit of this, that, and the other, and we will do that right after this. This is We Love to Interrupt on 5&1. Let's go.
Dream Vision has been brought to you by Tamago Games. Forget shrimp. Forget squid. There's something much more exciting. It's Tamago. We'll see who are the real eggheads and who will just be walking out with the egg on their face. That is Tamago Games. Hosted in Trinidad and Tamago. I mean, Tobago.
I could go for a Trinidad Tobago. I could go for a Tamago roll right about now.
Wow. Tamago is a tamago sushi, right? It's a nigiri. I'm looking it up. Is that right?
Yes, it's egg sushi.
Eggs, dashi, sugar, and soy sauce on sushi rice.
It's delish.
I love it.
What's the one? Oh, that's Oma rice. That's the one with the big ass omelet on the rice.
And supposedly the hardest egg dish to make. Although it isn't that hard if you have the tools for it.
No, but let's head... Could you actually hit the cue again, please, Pico? Now, we are in week 2 of the Survivor 50 episodes, and, you know, all the challenges have been done, but a couple of interviews and a couple of lists done with the producers have decided... what they believe are the 50 best Survivor challenges ever. Now, Chico and I went through the list, and what did we get? About 10 of them?
We got about 12 of them.
Okay. And we're going to do, if we think this, yes, we like it, that, we don't like it, or the other, which is,
Why
sort
did
of?
This ever become a thing?
Right, okay, so what do we have first? What number do we have?
Our first one is... Simotion.
Okay.
By the way, for those that don't have access to the article, after each announcement, Chico is going to explain exactly what the challenge is.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes. Here it is.
Survivor Tokachi and repeating all the way up to Survivor 48. The challenge requires strong mental focus and endurance, as each castaway, usually with one hand tied behind their back, must drop a ball into a metal chute, which will travel down a spiraling track and exit out of one of two points. The castaway must catch the ball and drop it back into the chute at the top. An additional ball will be added at designated intervals. If a ball exits the track and is not caught at any time, the person is eliminated. Last one standing wins.
Now, this one is one of my favorites because this was usually a Final Four challenge. And Gordon, here's a little New York fact for you, which you may remember. There's a version of this at the New York Port Authority station. Bus station.
Yes. Okay. There's actually more than one of those. There's one in each building.
Yes. And there, it is absolutely one of my favorites, this.
I love this challenge. I love the challenge of it. It definitely reminds me sort of the aggravating maze. That's this.
I grade Survivor challenges, and I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of Gordon flack, but I grade Survivor challenges on two things. Number one, the actual difficulty, and I agree with Jason and Chico on it, on this, but number two, as a viewer, how exciting or interesting or fascinating is this to actually watch? And the answer is not really.
I get you. So, understood. Understood.
It's okay. For me, it's the other. If we're considering this great, that bad, the other neutral, then it's the other. If you're considering that as it's all right, dog, then that. But whatever one of the it's all right, dog, that it is, that's what I'm putting this.
No, that's fair. Totally fair. Next one, Chico.
Next one. Blinds leading the blind. One castaway from each tribe would work as a caller, directing their blindfolded tribe mates and collecting items spread out in a field and returning them to their tribe's designated area. Once all the items have been gathered, a second portion of the challenge, typically a puzzle, would occur. First tribe to complete the portion wins.
Jay, you go first.
This one to me is the other. It's okay. But everyone, I mean, the watch-along value is that how many people are going to get hit in the groin, you know?
And that is a great factor, which is why, for me, it's a this. It is a great challenge. It's all about communication. But I want to see people get hit in their groin. It is fascinating. It is a human body train wreck. You could say it's a human train wreck combined with the human centipede. Without everybody being sewn up together, but the effects are as such. This.
Why did you bring up the human centipede?
Because he can. That's why. Because
I can.
All right. Yeah, you are correct. It is this. I like watching the challenge. I like watching people run into each other. Am I a sadist? Possibly. But what can I say? It's a challenge. Next up...
Yay, sadism!
The Survivor Auction.
This is one of my favorites. This.
This is deep.
Yes.
I love the fact that there are, there is, Monty Hall said, in every great game show, there's a chance that you can win everything or lose everything. This is emblematic of that.
And the way here's the interesting thing. The original auction was, we're going to get fish eyeballs instead of, a new car or something like that, or a hamburger or whatever. But I like the way they updated it for the new version. There are a certain amount of challenge of auctions, and the one with the most money loses, right? The one with the most money loses. You have to spend money. Really well adapted. Do you agree with that, Gordon?
Oh, completely. I love all the variations that they've done in one way or another. Almost every single one has worked. And that's what makes a great challenge when you can make variations all over it. Definitely this.
Definitely okay. This is the... All right.
Next one.
Next one. Buggin' Out, also known as Tuckered Out. Popularly referred to as... The Gross Food Eating Challenge. Yeah, it's...
Yay! It's a this for me. Going back to Gordon is a sadist and Schadenfreude and seeing other people suffer. Yes! Must eat yummy bugs, this.
I'm going to have to go with the other on this. I mean, yes, it's... I like to see the look on people's faces, but it's like it's been so long since...
It's almost, yeah, because I think what they were also trying to do, because remember, wasn't Fear Factor around at this time too?
Fear Factor, no, Survivor predated Fear Factor by at least a year.
Even so, I am not a sadist, and I have a gag reflex, so to me it's that. It's gross. Sorry. I know you're the sadist, but still, no, not for me.
I am the sadist, okay?
You. So it's this?
It's the other. It's like,
okay.
It started out good, but then they just stopped doing it. I guess production got in the way or something. I don't know what happened.
Maybe production or maybe PETA got in the way, but... You know, one of each. Next one.
Next one. Quest for Fire. The first ever challenge. So there, yeah.
This, but I like this. I understand why it sort of lost it as things got more complicated. You had to do things that were... more subtle, but I will say this, there's another one, I don't know if it made it, but if it didn't make it, I'm going to bring it up. There's a couple of really good ones that, for whatever reason, left the airwaves, but shouldn't have. This is one of them, this.
I agree. This is emblematic of what Survivor is. It is both a physical and mental trial, and it is a team challenge. It's also an individual challenge. And honestly,
it's this for another reason. It's the symbolism. What does Jeff always say at Tribal?
Fire.
These take your... Yes.
I'm also hoping... And if you use this, no problem. As a penalty, the whole tribe goes in, and instead of voting for the first one, everybody's got to try to make fire. The last person to make it, gone.
In the business, it's fortune.
Sure.
Yes, exactly.
Next up, A Bit Tipsy.
Okay.
All right.
First, oh, yes. Okay.
First introduced then, blood versus water. Castaways have to hang on to a rope attached to an unbalanced table to keep the table level. Stack a wooden block on the table and hold on to the rope to keep the block upright. Retrieve one of the 9 wooden blocks from the 3 stations while keeping all the blocks on the table upright. Once the block is retrieved, castaways will have to stack the blocks on the table to retrieve the other blocks. Should any of the blocks fall, they'd have to return to the table and restack the blocks.
This is actually one of my favorite challenges of all time, actually. It combines balance, strength, speed, and mental acuity. I cannot this enough.
I'm glad you like it. I think it gets annoying after a the other.
It gets real annoying, that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. That's why we have three different opinions here. Next one.
Next one. Arch Madness. Not March Madness. Arch Madness, where you're creating a series of tasks before using puzzle pieces with letters on them to make an arch, which have to spell a word on both sides.
I like it. I think it's okay, but for me, there's a gap between this and the ones that I really like, the other.
I'm going to put the other as well.
Yeah.
It is the other. It's okay. Could be better. It could be used better.
It could be. Next up, get a grip. Hang on to a pole for as long as you can.
Again,
that.
You think this is the most? It's one of the most over. Wow. Okay.
It's overrated. It is okay. So overrated.
Okay. That.
Next one. Fire making challenge. It's a challenge where you make fire. How can I explain this?
Well, you can explain it as this is what happens in the final four instead of a vote. This is exactly what Survivor's about. I'll put it in that category. Some people are whining, well, that's not how you should... No, that's exactly how it should be used, because usually in the round of four, the people that deserve to win Survivor get knocked out by the people that know that they can't win if they are. I agree that strategy should be used, but not at that point by that point. It is a this
because you have people who have survived this and then they don't know how to make fire. And you have to make fire because, of course, let's say it again, folks, fire is life. And to watch, I mean, last year, if you remember, Rizzo tried to make fire and couldn't do it to save his behind. And that's why he got out, if I remember correctly.
Interestingly enough, Savannah lasted shorter than Rizzo did this season. So.
Well, yeah. She didn't free game. Oh, well.
Also, she went after Ozzy. Next one! Fallen Comrades. This speaks to the... I'm putting this as this. Because it speaks to the social aspect of the game. It's like, okay.
What is Fallen Comrades?
It's like, how well do you know your fellow tribesmen?
Yeah, I like this as well. And that was done predominantly in the earlier versions of Survivor. But you are asked questions about the people that have been eliminated either by your hand or by somebody else. Sort of like who said this, where's the tattoo, where's this, that, and the other thing. Very underrated, but I like a lot. This.
To me, it's the other. I know it's an early part of it, but to me, it didn't fit the Survivor thing for me. That's just me.
That's fine. Next! Sumo at Sea. One member of each tribe faces off on a platform, surrounded by either water or mud, and using their padded bags or any other body part other than their hands, they must try to knock each other off the platform, scoring your tribe a point. Earth's tribe to reach a certain number of points would win.
This is part of the... This is, go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, this is very prevalent in Survivor China. No hands around the throat! The other... I like the idea. They needed to do better in terms of execution.
So this reminds me of all the games that they played in the water, like the the wrestling, the basketball, things like that. It is the other, because playing the games in the water made it kind of difficult.
Yep. I agree.
Chico.
I agree with
next one.
I agree with Jason here. Okay, last one. Stacked up. While standing on a wobbly balance sheet, Pathways must attempt to stack six sets of balls between sets of stands using a board. First person to finish their stack and return to their table without the stack falling over wins.
What's it called? Stacked up?
And also known as on shaky ground or sunset
ground. Oh, yeah. Oh, I got it. That's the one. Yeah. This is sort of a version of the immunity thing. I like this, but not enough. The other.
I don't like it that much.
It's all right, dog. There's ones that have better variations to it. The other.
Yeah, I'm important. I'm firmly important.
Okay, but now before we just get off. Gordon, do you have any ones that you just want to just salute on your own? One that you specifically
There's a couple, but I'm only going to do one because if we decided to do this, we'd be here for 4 hours. But the one that I liked a lot, and they did it in the early versions of Survivor, I believe the first two at least, and this was the only one that was objective and not objective, which is maybe why they didn't do it anymore. But this was a fun one, which was, and it's the only one that you actually needed artistic skill for, which is design some sort of help wanted save me aerial so that a helicopter can see it from the air. And that I thought was fantastic because, again, it not only showed Survivor what you needed to do, but it also focused on teamwork. You are never going to get this done by yourself.
Yeah,
you had to have people being able to SOS gonna help me and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's literally called SOS, and the last time they did it in America, it was the Palau season.
Yeah, but I like that one. That is one they should bring back.
Okay. Anything for you?
I think we're good.
Of course,
and
of course, yeah. Well, no, I think we're good as well. But again, Survivor 50 is on CBS Wednesday nights, 8:00. You can check out what challenges they will be bringing back. And if you want to tell us about what your favorite challenges are, you know, just talk about our socials. Anyone, we would love to hear what you got to say.
Yep.
And if we get enough of them, we'll bring us back and do another this, that, and the other on Survivor.
But in the meantime, we're going to go into a speed round right after this here on WLTI. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is the Whammy speaking, and if you hear me, then you also hear a spring!
Bang.
I'm reminding you that you need a spring forward this weekend! 1 hour at 2 a.m. on March the 8th! Don't forget, or I'll take your money!
And of course, make sure to, you know, to change the batteries in your smoke detectors and make sure that your DVR doesn't blink or something.
Yes. The special guests over at Chico's Alexander's house this evening are Jack Daniels and Jim Beam.
Interestingly enough, just the opposite. It'd be Cafe Bustelo and General Foods International Coffees.
And on that note, we get to the speed round now. Survivor 50, who's next to go?
Whoever's targeting Ozzy next, that's who. That's cursed. That's a curse.
Well, no, I'm actually going to think that the tribe swap actually surprises a few people. I don't know who yet. There's still a lot to be figured out, but it's still early, so it's still anyone's game. RuPaul's Drag Race. Does Kenya Pleaser screw up again in another fashion challenge? All signs point to yes.
I want to say that her up and spidily comes in this episode.
Yeah, I see her in the bottom two as well. However, something just tells me that you need more than six people in a roast. So either it's not elimination or she gets eliminated, but they bring somebody back in. Actually, you know what? Okay. I'll go with that one. We haven't seen that in a while. I'll go for it. She gets knocked out and someone gets put back in.
Okay. Jeopardy, still Wheel of Champions?
Still Wheel of Champions. That's going to be a very fun Wheel of Champions.
Oh, so what's going to be the big story? Top Chefs is going to be in the Carolinas, right?
Yes. In the Carolinas, we're going to have some new chefs and new challenges. And I believe we start in Charlotte this year. So we will be talking about that next time.
So do we have any mail?
A Wheel of Fortune $1 million winner?
No.
Nope. No. No, we got one.
No, why not more?
Love more. We would definitely love more.
We want more.
And one of the things that we love more on is mail. Do we have any?
We do not, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. I am at don't forget to follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block with the number 2 at the end.
And I'm at GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5&1Net. That's the number 5, ANDONENET, where we talk about anything and everything network wide. Again, BS Big Show is on a break until the draft. But when we get together for the draft, we have so much to discuss. For example, DJ Moore is heading to Buffalo. The one lone good player in Chicago, and he's heading to Buffalo.
Buffalo!
Figure that one out, why don't you?
If you know, you know. Mega Bowl.
Yes,
Mega Bowl, a weekend from tomorrow.
And where will you be next weekend? Where, in Delaware?
Virginia. Nope.
Let's go into the NAWC as we head towards, you know, Elimination Chamber is over. The road to WrestleMania is going on. Had a heated promo on Monday's episode between CM Punk and Roman Reigns. Some debuts on AEW. Wrestling is just still kicking butt as we head. We are 7 weeks away. Actually, 6 weeks away from this coming Saturday, believe it or not.
Over on It Was a Thing on TV, a Squared Circle Time Machine is all new as TNA Impact goes head-to-head against WWE Raw on Monday night. The Dane and Greg are talking about the Impact, specifically the March 8th, 2010 episode, headlined by a tag team event between the Hulkster and Abyss against Ric Flair and AJ Styles. Also have two championship matches on a special episode. A big debut, and what did Scott Hall say out loud? You will find out. It is at itwasathingontv.com. We have a new episode dropping later this morning, and it is Mike's Money in the Bank pick. So, yeah, we're going to see what we talk about for his birthday.
Okay, so what's happening next week?
Next week, we start talking about Top Chef as it arrives in my neck of the woods. We also have more Jeopardy, Drag Race, Survivor, and more of the news of the last 7 days.
And of course, we have to prepare for, what is it, 2 weeks? Is March Madness,
in
I believe?
In 2 weeks, it is March Madness, so get your brackets in order, kids, because we are going live and we are going long. So be on the lookout for that. Until then, my friends, from Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, everybody, 501. My name is Steve Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. Spread the love.
Good night.
Interrupt this program.